All right, good evening, everyone. We will be back in Psalms 119 tonight. I don't know that I'll continue on every week, but actually last week I was impressed upon this for this week, and so that's why we're here again. Psalm 119, and the second set of eight verses. Remember, Psalms divided into 22 sections, with each section having eight verses, corresponding with the letters of the alphabet, not the English alphabet. But at any rate, tonight we'll be looking at how to cleanse thy way. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. You know, when one comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God does a whole lot of cleaning. He changes you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's wonderful things about us. It's great. But sometimes this old flesh still likes to carry baggage. It's still tempted. It still wants to get involved with things that it shouldn't. This old flesh is still cursed. This old flesh is still going to die. Praise the Lord, our soul will live on forever. Amen. Amen. If you know Jesus Christ, it means you'll have an eternity in the presence of the Lord. The alternative to that would be to reject Christ and spend an eternity in the absence of the Lord. And that would be even more scary than the fire that comes with it. And I was talking with that with the youth this morning, that whenever you're to be cast out and be absent from the Lord, that means you're in the absence of love, you're in the absence of peace, you're in the absence of light. All those things associated with God, that's what you're in the absence of. And the interesting thing is that in the absence of peace, that means you got turmoil. Now I'm on a slight rabbit trail, but that means all the thoughts that you had as you were alive, there's no peace there. You will continually think on every opportunity that you had to come know Jesus Christ as your Savior and didn't take it. What a way to spend eternity. To think about every time that you rejected Jesus Christ as Savior, and to think about everything that you ever did wrong. And I find it hard to imagine that anyone would be able to think of any good thing that took place in their life, but a constant reminder of all the opportunities to trust Jesus. And that in and of itself would be miserable. And you add all the other things that go along with it. Hell is a real place, and it's not a place that God wants His creation to be. And yet so many people find themselves going to a place called hell because they neglect so great a salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How to cleanse thy way. So how do we cleanse it? We come to know Christ as our Savior, and He makes us new, but yet we still walk in this world. There's still temptations and struggles, and there's still hang-ups, and how do we overcome that? And the psalmist does a wonderful job as he writes these verses. And as I've been doing, we'll read all eight and then we'll come back. And he says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." Father, we're grateful tonight for the time to look into your word. And God, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word tonight. God, get me out of the way. Speak through me, Lord, that we might learn to be closer to you. Father, forgive us where we fall short. And help us to look to you in all things and give you glory. Amen. And the psalmist poses that question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Understanding that young man is the word nayar, which means from the age of infancy to adolescence. Mainly used of young boys, but it can also refer to girls. And so we can actually imply that wherewithal shall a young person cleanse their way. Now, on occasion, that word was also used of servant, and you could fit servant in there if you want, but it begins saying young man. And I think there's a focus on the importance of training a young person in the way that they should go. Watch, Proverbs tells us that, right? Train up a young person, a child, in the way they go, and when they're old, they shall not depart. And so it's important that we give godly direction to kids. Teach them about Christ. Teach them about the things of God. Teach them about God's word and his precepts and his laws and all those things that go along with God. It's important that young folk know about that. Why? So that their way can be cleansed, or that path that's going to be before them. That way is means a well-trodden road, and that implication there is their walk of life. And so we want to train a young person when they're young, by the time that they're in their formative years, that they will walk in a way that honors and glorifies God. Why? Because if you train them when they're young, then they'll continue to walk on it later. Now, what happens for so many that don't get trained when they're young, or they start to walk contrary to the things that they're training, then their life is filled with baggage and garbage and trash and everything the world puts in there. And it becomes a lot to overcome. Instead of having a life that's a smooth path, it becomes a life filled with obstacles. It becomes a journey filled with potholes and crooks and all kind of things. So how shall a young person keep his journey in life clean and pure? You know, when a young person is in their formative years, infancy to adolescence, they're under the authority of a parent or a guardian, teacher, tutor. They're in an impressionable age. And this is generally a time of innocence and purity, unless something in their area that they're living in causes something obscene to happen. But it should be a time of purity and innocence in a child's life as they're growing in formative. Yet we know so many times where kids are beaten, or kids are abused verbally, physically, sexually. This world is corrupted, and there's things that come in and corrupt these times. But if you put it, a child in an ideal home, and in those times, that's where they're going to learn, where there will be, and it's where there'll be protection from the influences of the world around, where there'll be protection from ungodliness, where there'll be protection from evil, where maybe there'll be protection from prejudice and biases. And yet so often we see even now that during these young people's lives is when prejudices and biases are formed. You know, it's amazing that you, a black child and a white child will play together with zero problems until they're taught that one of them's black and one of them's white and they need to hate each other. That's amazing. If you get that influence out of there, they're going to do right by playing and get along. But yet they're taught prejudice and biases. Is it during this young person's life that when doctrinal beliefs are going to be formed, whether they adhere to them or not later, they'll have to make that choice. But during this time, as they're under the tutelage of a parent or guardian, they'll have doctrinal values and beliefs that'll be formed. And because of these things, it's extremely important, again, that we teach our children about God and Jesus and God's word. And if this is neglected, the chances of coming to know Christ drastically decrease. As a person gets older, the chances of them asking Jesus Christ to be their Savior goes down and down and down, because they become corrupted with the world and all the things of the world. And it's hard for them to let go of what has happened to them. It's not impossible. For what is impossible with man is not impossible with God. And God can reach any sinner at any time and save them. But it becomes harder and harder the older they get. So teach the young ones. It's important. If you're in children's ministry, make sure you're teaching them. If you're in youth ministry, make sure you're teaching them. If you're parents, make sure you're teaching them. Grandparents, teach your grandkids. It's important. And so it's great, Brother Dave. We'll look around. How many of us have little kids in here? Not that many. So let's talk about what it means to us. What does it mean to us as an adult that's been born again? How can I How can you walk in a way that is pure and clean? Well, interestingly enough, all the things that David writes about teaching the young kids can apply spiritually to each and every one of us. There is no difference. And if we apply these to our lives, actually the difference would be we just have more obstacles to overcome, but the steps are the same and the process is the same. And where does it begin? It begins right there in verse 1 when he says, by taking heed thereunto thy word. Step one in the process, take heed to thy word. By taking heed thereto according to thy word, that taking heed is shamar. It means to hedge about as with thorns. Hedge it about. To guard, to protect, to attend to be circumspect. I love the verse out of Ephesians. It says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And circumspect's not a term we use very often. It does mean carefully. And I've given the example before. I'll give it again because I enjoyed the example. But you can think of circumspect as there's a fence between 2 yards. And on one side is a pit bull. On the other side is a Doberman. And right down the middle of the fence is a cat trying to get from one side to the other. The cat has to walk circumspectly so as not to fall into peril. And that's what he's telling us to do. He says to take heed according to thy word, to be circumspect according to God's word. And so we're to walk in our life and apply to our life the things of God's word and to be circumspect in how we do that so that we don't fall into peril. Amen. There's trouble waiting to the right and there's trouble waiting to the left. And if we're going to stay out of the trouble, we have to walk down the middle. Straight is the way and narrow is the way. In Proverbs 9 and 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In Proverbs 1:7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He said, take heed or guard according to thy word. And there's wisdom and knowledge in fearing the word of the Lord. And when you do that, when you put that in healthy respect, not to be scared of God's word. If there's anything in the world you don't need to be scared of, it's God's word. Because it's there to correct and to teach and to mold. Oh, it's got judgments listed. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I guess that would be scary. I wouldn't be so much scared as the word as when judgment would take place. But it's important to know that there are judgments. But to take God's word and to light our path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And the following is, I'll hide thy words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that's in here as well, that I'll hide thy words, right? Verse 11, and we'll get that in a minute. I won't get out of order. So when we line up our ways with God's ways, that's how we can walk circumspectly. If your way and God's way don't match up, guess who needs to change? Let me give you a hint. It ain't God. It ain't God. His way don't have to change. Don't need to change. Should never change and does not change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're to line our ways with him. And if we take heed to his word and walk circumspectly in his word, we will be on the right path to have a pure walk with God. Be careful what we allow to come into our lives. Television is filled with garbage. And I don't just mean the regular R-rated filth. If you watch the news too long, it will consume your mind with garbage. All the troubles in the world, and don't get me wrong, you ought to stay informed, and I'm not real good at staying informed with current news outside of social media. I remember at work, they'd put the news on in the morning and watch it. And there's just so much stuff. And that stuff just comes in and it can consume you. If I start thinking about all the problems in the world and it consumes my thoughts in my life, then I have no more room to have God's thoughts in my mind. So we got to be careful what we allow in through the television. Be careful what you allow in through the radio. The same thing, the lyrics from the songs as they're played with the music. So much more powerful. If you have the wrong lyrics with the music, it causes your brain to memorize this ungodly stuff. And I could probably start some songs and you could probably finish them for me. And when we think about the words, we'd be saying, oh my goodness, why do I know that? Because we didn't guard our minds about those things. And chances are that happened before you were a Christian. And funny thing is, they tend to stick. We need to be careful with social media. It's filled with garbage. You know, I was seeing a commercial the other day, and there's a new camera, Google Pixel, I think. But it'll take what's reality and allow you to alter it right then and there. You snap a picture, you don't like it, you can fix it. And it was showing people where a group of them took a picture and some of them were looking another way and weren't smiling. Boom, they adjusted it and everybody was fixed. Reality was altered instantly. It used to take Photoshop to go do that. But now you can do it instant. And how much of the garbage we see on there is not reality? Be careful of the company you keep. You know, they say birds of a feather flock together, and how many of a people have been brought down because of the company they keep? Choose godly friendships. Choose godly people. The wrong people will take you down. Oh, you have to live in the world and you need to be out there and you need to be a witness to those around. And it's okay if you're friends with someone that's not a Christian because they need to see Jesus in you. But I don't recommend keeping constant company that way. You need to have those in your life that are going to sharpen you and hold you accountable. Be careful of the places you go. Oh, be careful, little feet. Be careful, little hands. Be careful, little eyes. Careful with all those things. We need to walk circumspectly and guard our pathway. Then he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And a couple weeks ago we talked about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might and all thy strength and thy neighbor as thyself. And excuse me, I don't want to rehash all that, but just a brief recap with the whole heart. Remember, the heart is the thoughts and the feelings and that center of who we are, and that the heart represents the center of one's life, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental. And that heart of us is that part that drives our beliefs. And so with our whole heart, that needs to be focused in on God and the things of God, so that comes from us, that spills out from us is that of God. When we don't put God at the center, everything is off kilter. But when God is the center, all relationships fall into place. He said, let me not wander far from thy commandments. Oh, how our heart is prone to wander. We're so prone to go astray, this old flesh. If we don't stay focused in on God's word, it's just a matter of time before we're going to walk in a way that dishonors God. It's just a matter of time before our thoughts are going to run awry. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? The songwriter wrote, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. I'll take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Help me not to wander from thy commandments. He's asking for help. He knows that he's prone to wonder. I know that I'm prone to wonder, and I reckon you know too that you're prone to wonder, and it's something that we have to keep on the forefront of our lives is God's word and prayer and the Christian fellowship that we have. And anytime that habit gets broken, havoc comes in. If the heart doesn't get its daily dose of things of God, it's not long before it wanders off to the pleasures of this world. Guard your heart. Guard your heart that it not waver from the Lord. In verse 11, he says, thy words have I hidden my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Memorize God's word. It's not just a book to read, but it's precepts and declarations to memorize and to declare in our life. It's promises to hang on to. It's encouragement to guide us each and every day. It's instructions on how to live a life to honor and glorify God. And there's even instructions on how to walk with your neighbor or how to live in life. It's all there. Memorize God's word. Hide it deep in your heart. That don't mean hide it where it doesn't use. That means puts it in at the center so that it radiates in everything that you do. And as you memorize and as you study, God's word will cleanse you. And as he cleanses your heart, it's going to cleanse your mind. And his word will direct your path. In 13, he tells us, I'll read 12 real quick. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me that the statutes, and the psalmist desired that God to teach him his ways. And if we sincerely see God and ask him with the same heart, God, teach me, the Holy Spirit that he puts within us will teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. And he said, 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments, all thy judgments. All the judgments of thy mouth, with my lips I've declared them. Hey, guess what? Talk about the things that God's done. Declare his judgments. Talk about God's judgments that are coming. Let people know there is a judgment coming. But also let him know, let them know that in that judgment he's provided a way through Jesus Christ. But it's important that we speak of the things of God. It's important that we proclaim it. It's not good enough just to keep it within. It's not just good enough to keep it hidden, but it has to be declared, and it needs to be made known unto the world. I'm going to skip 14 for a minute and jump to 15. He said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And that meditate has to deal with the mind and the thoughts, and it's our thought pattern, that our thought pattern needs to be on God's word and God's ways. You know, it says, it's often said that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And we got to be careful. You know, the Eastern mysticism teaches meditation. I remember taking Taekwondo as a young teenager from a Korean instructor, and had the yin and yang all over the place. And we had a moment that we took where we would meditate, and he would say, clear your mind. Well, you know, a young teenager don't know how to clear his mind very well. I never figured that out, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. Because who knows what would have came in if I'd have cleared my mind. And we need to be careful we allow our mind to be cleared over to. When he says meditate on thy word. On thy law. On who he is. Let those things come into mind. Take that time where you're away and the craziness of the world is not interfering with you. And take that time to meditate upon the things of God. And let that consume you. Let that we muse on be God's word. And then respect and heed the ways of God. And that's what he said. He said, I'll meditate in thy precepts and I have respect unto thy ways. You know, too often Christians, we're too worried about our own way. And we forget that we're supposed to have respect to God's ways. In other words, we're supposed to make his ways our ways. Get our way out of the way so that he can be in the way so that we might walk in his way. Don't ask me to say that again. I didn't write it down. I hope somebody else did. That's good. And remember the mind, the deep thoughts and the imaginations and our understanding. Let those things be focused upon God. You want to walk in a pure and clean way, then adjust your mind to the thinking of God. Adjust your heart to the things of God. And when all those things fall into place, what can you do after you've heeded, after you've given him your whole heart, after you declare and you speak and you proclaim, and after you think about these things, what do you do? In verse 14 and 16, sum those up. He said, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In 16, he said, I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Rejoice and delight in what God has done. So, man, he hasn't done very much in my life yet, or not lately. Whose fault is that? Have you yielded yourself to him? God's always doing something. He's always working, and we may not recognize it. Stop and think about it. Meditate upon it. See what he's doing, where he's working. Then rejoice and be glad in what he's done. And if you still can't think of nothing, go back to the word and where he tells you to lift up your voice and sing praise. Go through the Psalms. Go through the Proverbs. There's much things in there that tell you to be rejoiced and to be happy and to be excited and in the things of the Lord. And Christian, when we get our mind focused where it needs to be, then we can walk in a pure way. So as we walk circumspectly, as we give Him our whole heart, seek Him out, as we meditate upon the things of God's Word, as we speak those things of God, and as we rejoice and delight in the things of the Lord, we can have a walk that's pure and holy before God. You know, the formula is simple. And sometimes it's putting it to action that's tough. It's the things of the world that comes against us. It's the enemy that comes against us that seems to distract us from the things that God wants us to do. Even to take our mind up off the things that God wants us to have our mind upon. How's your daily devotional studies going? How's the reading of the Word going? How's your prayer life going? Consider those things. And if they're not where they need to be, then consider it's time for a revival. And ask God to revive you.